You're listening to Tech Talk Radio in your backyard and worldwide on the pod.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
It's the first time that Apple have actually decided to tell people about something that they're developing.
High-speed broadband. Let's just make sure that we can get it in Australia this year, not next.
The three main spamming countries are the United States, China, and South Korea.
And I've got some residual powers.
Sounds like something out of Harry Potter.
Senator Coonan, the voice of reason.
There's a couple of systems on a gantry that's actually based on a military missile tracking system.
You put the date on ePray, and you get a whole service just on
How does it go?
IE7, you were having trouble installing it because you had a genuine copy of Windows that wouldn't validate properly. What did you have to do to get past that?
Built a new machine.
But how hard can it be?
Well, it's not hard at all.
At the end of the day, the photography is all about the person's eye and what they see.
If you find something that's inappropriate about your child, you need to do something about it because it will not go away.
On air, on the internet, and on the pod, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 26 of Tech Talk Radio for 2008. I'm your host, Andrew McColl. This week, it seems consumers have the upper hand over eBay, thanks to a bit of friendly persuasion from Australia's consumer watchdog, the ACCC. The world's largest online auction website, eBay, tried to remove nearly all forms of alternate payment recently and force Australian users to use eBay's own preferred payment facility, PayPal. But the ACCC had other ideas. Also, the arrival of the iPhone is now less than a week away, and the dust looks like it's settled. Optus, Vodafone and Telstra are all set to sell what will soon be the ubiquitous Apple telephone. But poor old Hutchison, who runs the CityCentric 3 network, still seems to be out in the cold. Also this week, it's heartening to see a new government initiative designed to get seniors online. Only one in five Australians over the age of 65 years currently uses the internet. According to the Rudd government, the needs of older Australians wishing to be trained in the use of the internet will be met by the creation of approximately 2,000 seniors internet kiosks provided by community organisations that support seniors, and they will also be funded by the government. And finally, if you're an armchair sports enthusiast, the new TiVo and TopField PVRs are about to hit the market, just in time for next month's Olympic Games. Adam tells us about the good, the bad, and the ugly when it comes to the minefield of buying consumer electronics for your home TV requirements.
This week on Tech Talk Radio.
Will the iPhone become the new security threat of 2008? Plasma and LCD TVs blamed for accelerated global warming. Beware, Olympic fever could impact your network. Telstra throws mud at other bidders for the national broadband network. And we hear how Symbian have embraced Microsoft's new server 2008. First up, though, here's the latest happenings from the Tech Talk News Desk with Dr. Ron.
This is Tech Talk News.
This week, a croaky Dr. Ron with Tech Talk News. eBay is still forcing sellers to use PayPal. Google is forced to release user logs to Viacom. Westpac bank chaos is blamed on a computer glitch. New laser import bans announced by customs. And the federal government commits $15 million to broadband for seniors. Welcome to Tech Talk News. Online auction house eBay is still forcing its sellers to accept PayPal, according to a report in The Age Tech last week. According to the article, eBay has still not withdrawn a recent policy forcing all sellers to at least offer PayPal as one of the payment options. Sellers are reporting that eBay is systematically deleting auction listings from sellers who state in their item descriptions that they prefer to be paid with non-PayPal methods, such as direct bank deposit. Several eBay members have complained to the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission over eBay's actions, and an ACCC spokesperson said the regulator was considering these complaints carefully. The ACCC issued a draft notice in June rejecting eBay's application for a PayPal-only auction site. Many sellers prefer to avoid using PayPal because it charges them a fee for each transaction. eBay maintains that payment methods other than PayPal are not safe and do not have the same level of fraud protection as PayPal. The ACCC is investigating. In a blow to the seminal video sharing website YouTube, its owner Google has been ordered by an American court to disclose information about who watches which video clips and when. Dismissing privacy concerns, the federal judge overseeing a $1 billion copyright infringement lawsuit against YouTube ordered that the logs be released to Viacom, a publicly listed American media conglomerate. The judge heard legal argument that Viacom needed the data to demonstrate that their copyright-protected videos are being illegally shared on YouTube. Lawyers for Google said that production of the data, which would include information on when each video gets played, YouTube usernames and IP addresses, would be expensive, time-consuming, and a breach of user privacy. But the judge ruled last week that Viacom and other plaintiffs had a legitimate need for the information. He said that Google's privacy concerns were speculative and that an IP address could not positively identify one particular individual. The judge did, however, reject a request from the plaintiffs for Google to disclose YouTube source code and said there was no evidence Google manipulated its search algorithms to treat copyright-infringing videos differently. Viacom is seeking $1 billion in damages from Google, saying YouTube has built a business by using the internet to willfully infringe copyrights on Viacom shows, which include Comedy Central and Nickelodeon programs. Google did not say whether it would appeal the ruling at this time. Thousands of people missed out on their weekly pay packets last week after an alleged computer malfunction at the Westpac Bank, which affected $1 billion in transactions. The malfunction occurred on Thursday and was the result of a so-called processing error, according to Westpac, and left the bank's payroll and direct debit systems in complete chaos. Thousands of employees, including some from New South Wales Health, missed out on Thursday payday, while others received twice the weekly wage, and some direct debits were even deducted twice. A Westpac spokeswoman said the bank hoped the problem would be rectified by Friday and assured customers that no one would be out of pocket any more than for legitimate transactions. The Minister for Home Affairs, Mr. Bob Debus, said that it would be illegal to import high-intensity handheld laser pointers into Australia without a permit from Tuesday last week. The Customs Prohibited Imports regulations were changed after a spate of laser pointer attacks on aircraft attempting to land at Sydney airports. The amendment to the regulations affects handheld laser pointers designed or adapted to emit a laser beam greater than 1 milliwatt. From Tuesday last week, these items can only be imported with the written permission of the Minister for Home Affairs or an authorised person prior to the arrival of the goods in Australia. The regulations supplement existing state legislation where, in many cases, laser pointers are already classified as controlled or prohibited weapons. It is hoped that the update to these regulations will prevent people purchasing the devices from overseas through mail order catalogues and over the internet. And the federal government is calling for applications from suitably qualified organisations to deliver the National Broadband for Seniors program. Broadband for Seniors is part of a wider Australian government initiative, Making Ends Meet, Plan for Older Australians, People with Disabilities and Carers. The government is committing $15 million to the program and is expected to be delivered between September this year and November 2010. The Minister for Families, Housing, Community Services and Indigenous Affairs, the Honourable Jenny Macklin MP, said that only 1 in 5 Australians over the age of 65 years currently uses the internet. From the selection process, the department will enter into a funding agreement with a successful organisation to deliver approximately 2,000 seniors' internet kiosks and training nationally. Applications from interested organisations close on the 8th of August. I'm Dr. Ron, and that's your tech update for this week.
Previously on Tech Talk Radio.
Do no evil, Google sued for $1 billion.
Lucy Butler, a self-confessed Luddite, joins us on the panel this evening.
I get in a lot of trouble for my parents because I never call people. I don't like calling people.
Really?
I'd rather text.
Hey, yeah. Hang on, nerd alert.
What? The microphone's went on, no one heard me.
The panel's a bit miffed as to the Mac networking issue.
Which is which? What do you mean, which is which?
It's exacerbated by the fact that we're Macintosh people.
That's the one
I scoffed at and blew my nose on. Yeah.
One of the big features of the new 3G iPhone is its ability to synchronise to Exchange.
It looks like TiVo will sell for around $700 Australian without a monthly subscription fee.
And hacking attack is highly embarrassing.
Thank you.
It would be.
Thank you very much. You can't vote with your feet because there are no other options.
So I wonder if ICANN forgot to do their Windows updates on their server 2008.
But he's decided to pull the pin full time. Come on, Bill, when were you in the office last?
Entertaining, informative, and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andrew McComb. Sitting in front of me this evening is Dr. Ron, and we're going to be presenting the 27th edition of Tech Talk Radio for you this evening. Some other interesting news too this week, Dr. Ron. iPhone, that wonderful little everywhere ubiquitous little device, well, soon to be ubiquitous little device.
Have you got one?
No.
Are you getting one? You're going to get one?
I don't know.
You don't know? You're for it, but then you sort of swayed off.
Yeah, look, MMS, there's a few
MMS
issues.
MMS is the thing that's got you, isn't it?
Yeah, look, I'd like to get one. At this point in time, I'm sort of sitting on the fence. I'll wait and see what happens when the first batch come out.
Yeah.
There's been pricing announced by some of the telcos, which we'll touch on in just a few moments. There's also been some other interesting sort of news around too, that the iPhone is going to become a new security threat if it hasn't become already.
In what way?
Well, Google is making its Google Talk instant messaging application available for Apple's iPhone and iPod Touch. However, these new applications come with the light of new security scares. So if you run your Google apps on top of your iPhone, watch out. One of Google's software engineers revealed the news about Google Talk in a blog last Wednesday. In addition to sending your friends Gmail messages from your iPhone, you can now chat with them while you're on the move. That's what you do, isn't it? Oh, you're more of a social, you text what you're doing. I'm happy, I'm on the tram, I'm on the train, I'm on the bus.
Yeah, yep.
Anyway, the application doesn't require any software to be installed or downloaded. Instead, it works with the phone's browser. So you can simply go to the site and log in and start chatting. So there's a couple of differences, though, with Google Talk and the iPhone versus a computer. For one, to receive messages, the application needs to be open on the Safari phone browser. When the users navigate away from the Google Talk window in the browser, their status is set to unavailable.
Ah,
is it good? I guess it saves you having to say you're unavailable, but you got to have Safari loaded up on the device.
Yeah, you've used Safari. You use Safari a lot, don't you, at work?
I do. It's a good browser. It does lack the security, though, that the other browsers do tend to have.
But you're happy with how it renders images?
Oh, yeah. Looks really nice. Makes a website look really nice, especially text. Because Firefox, despite its new version 3, hasn't really done anything to the way it renders text. And, of course, Microsoft's Internet Explorer 7 is potentially one of the world's worst browsers, says he who develops websites, and it never looks like what you expect it to look like.
No, that's right.
So, but anyway, that said, Google has tried to keep the experience close to what users can expect on their desktop or laptop computers. They can select contacts from a quick list, search contacts, and manage conversations. However, while Apple continues to release new applications for the iPhone, the leading Mac OS X research says Apple has not kept the iPhone operating system up to date with its patches and other issues for the desktop, which we'll talk about a little bit later on tonight too. Mac OS X had a bit of a patch Tuesday for one of another brand name's releases recently.
Yes, which is what we always use to refer to the Microsoft weekly patch releases. Yes.
So there's the iPhone. Yes, there's some new plans becoming available. Telstra obviously got a $0 plan for the iPhone if you're interested in that sort of technology without paying any money.
Still haven't seen any information though from Telstra about bandwidth. And data usage. That's what we're needing to see more than anything.
Yes. I reckon if you go to their broadband plan packages, I think it'll be very much along those sort of lines. So for $29 worth of broadband, you'll get about 80 meg.
80 meg,
which is not huge.
It's not huge.
And let me tell you that if you've got a broadband card and you boot up on your broadband and you just check your mail and do a few web browsery things, you can go through 20 meg just like that by the time a few of the things on your laptop, like doing a bit of an update.
Yep.
And I'm sure OS X would be pretty much along the same lines. I even saw pictures on the internet, some bright sparks loaded up Windows CE on the iPhone.
Windows CE? Yeah. Oh, no. Even I'd cringe at that.
Oh, yes. But it just goes to show you can run anything you like on it. So, but Optus has announced its iPhone pricing plan this week. Essentially, Optus has changed all of its data prices to accommodate the iPhone. Well, maybe Telstra will do something like that too. Because if everybody's getting in on the act, the iPhone's going to be very much in demand, a very sought-after device. And I think the people who want to use the iPhone mobile with broadband will probably want a good data plan. I would.
Yeah, yeah. And it's the one carrier that touts itself as being targeting the hip young generation.
Yes.
Three, deafening silence. We haven't had any iPhone announcement from them.
Don't know what's going on. Anyway, back to Optus.
Optus.
But they've sort of accommodated data prices, but they've bolted it onto an existing structure, like one of their existing plans. While Telstra technically managed to reveal its iPhone pricing first, that's on a $0 plan, that's about all they told us, it omitted the key detail. It would tell you how much it would charge you for an iPhone, but not what plans would be involved. Exactly what you said, Dr. Ron. Optus today became the first Australian provider. Sorry, that was the other day. Probably a couple of days ago now. Optus became the first Australian provider to offer more key details outlining its iPhone pricing scheme for both pre- and post-paid customers. Starting off, $19 a month, all the way up to $179, depending on your data.
$179?
Depending on your data.
I thought I paid a lot. I paid $99 or thereabouts a month.
Yeah, well, if you're an early adopter to this technology, you do bucks more get charged for it.
Would you pay that a month?
No. That's why I'm going to sit on the fence. You've asked me tonight whether I'd buy one of these new devices, an iPhone, and I think we'll sit back and wait and see what happens. But there will be the boffins that'll be there first thing, the must-have people that want an Apple in their back pocket, an iPhone that is. But the good news is, at least with Telstra, it will roam onto their 3G network in the bush. So if you're a bush person living outside the city and you don't have access to 850 meg HSDPA, which is the third generation mobile network, then chances are you'll be roaming on somebody else's, and you might even be back down at a 2G, the previous generation's data.
Back onto GSM.
Yeah, GPRS.
Ooh,
that's what they've got in the United States, I believe.
Yeah, GSM's the name of the type of network. GPRS is the data backbone of that network.
Yes.
It's a lot slower.
Now, these contracts from Optus are available on 0, 12 or 20-month contracts. So, you have to spend a minimum of $79 per month over 24 months to get the 8-gig iPhone. So there you go. It's I know, big bucks. You can buy the devices outright if you want to.
Yep.
They're around about $699 US, I think they're going to sell them outright for. So what that translates to over here is probably about $700 or $800, which puts them in the ballpark of an equivalent HSDPA type handset.
If you were going to buy one outright here, that's correct. Hmm.
So what do you reckon? Yes? Is it for Dr. Ron? Is it for later down the track?
Look, I really loved the first generation one that David Yarmouni brought in here for us about 12 months ago.
Yes.
And there's some photos of that up on the forum as well. Forum.techtalkradio.com.au. Log on there or register if you're not already a user there. I really liked the interface. I liked all that it did. I don't know if it's right for me or not. I like the fact it's got Wi-Fi. I like the fact that it's HSDPA, but I don't know. I'm not...
MMS? No? Yes?
MMS,
do you use it?
Yeah, I do. I do use MMS, and that's one thing which I'm disappointed.
I use MMS to send you accidentally images that you're not expecting.
I've seen some of those accidentally images. They're not on the forum.
No, thank goodness for that.
But that's one of the things that I'm not too mad on. It's also got a fairly low sort of low-res crappy camera in it from what people are saying. You'd expect it
to 2 megapixels.
You'd expect a bit better than that, I would have thought.
What gives it room to move,
2008,
doesn't it?
Yeah, potentially.
6 megapixels, I'd say, be pretty much where you'd be wanting a phone camera to be these days. Or is that asking too much?
I don't know. I reckon 5 is about normal.
Well, if you think about what you want to do with it, it's really going to come down to the youth of today who'll be using it. I don't think the more senior members of the telephone industry or users would be using MMS cameras or snappy sort of photos using a camera. But I can see it at parties. I can see it being used at all sorts of strange things. Although, even last week, when we had she was saying that, we don't really use much of that technology.
Well, that's right. She relies on Bluetooth to send photos between her friends.
Yeah, which I'm sure the device will do. So
yes, definitely.
Now, Dr. Ron, you got an LCD TV.
I do.
And there's this issue with global warming at the moment. You've probably seen it in the mainstream press.
I have.
Apparently, we're going to run out of water in the not-too-distant future. The Murray-Darling's looking pretty sick.
Are you going to tell me my LCD television's causing global warming?
Would you believe?
Contributing to it?
Absolutely. A gas used in the making of flat-screen televisions, which is nitrogen trifluoride.
Right.
For those of you collecting numbers and things, it's NF3. Is being blamed for damaging the atmosphere and accelerating global warming.
Ooh.
Almost half of all the televisions sold around the globe so far this year have been plasmas or LCDs. But this boom could be coming to a huge environmental cost. Because what do you do when you finish, when your lifespan of your plasma or your LCD has expired? This is one thing we haven't sort of really come to terms with yet.
Mm.
You see the hard rubbish collections around here, and you see the old CRTs out in the nature strip. I've yet to see a plasma on the nature strip.
Yeah, well, this is it. I was hoping to get at least 10 years out of my television, which I purchased a couple of years ago.
Is it going
to
be like the fridge issue where we had CFC fluoro...
Chlorofluorocarbons.
Yes, in our refrigerants, and now they put a different gas in which doesn't leak and is safer, but we've got this issue with these guys.
That's right, they put Freon in now, I think.
Yeah. All
right.
Anyway, this nitrogen trifluoride, that gas...
T3? No, what was it? Not T3.
NF3.
T3 something altogether different.
Yep, ironically, is not covered by the Kyoto Protocol, as it was only produced in tiny amounts when the treaty was signed in 1997. Levels of this gas in the atmosphere have not been measured, but scientists say it is concerned and are calling for it to be included in any future emissions cutting agreement. So not only will we have a carbon tax very shortly, we'll also have an NF3 tax.
Interesting.
Well, maybe. Pure speculation, but you never know. So,
NF3 disposal tax. It's like when you get your car serviced and they always charge you an environmental levy at the bottom of the bill. Have you noticed that? That's for the disposal of the waste products from the engine.
Wow.
From the oils and such things.
Well, I think, yes, user pays. I think carbon taxes have got to be a viable alternative too. Not that we're a green show, but if you think about all the technology that we're using, it's powered by something, isn't it?
Yeah, it has to be.
And in Australia, traditionally, it's a coal-powered generator down at a power station near you, producing all sorts of strange, you know, gases or predominantly carbon going into the atmosphere.
Mm.
Who pays for that? Well, you know, our kids will.
Mm.
They're saying that the Great Barrier Reef's not long. Yeah, it's probably
not
got until 2050
well.
Or something like that,
yeah,
too. So
yeah.
I think, if anything, raising prices and using technology will certainly make people think twice.
But is LCD going to become an outdated technology
Absolutely.
Fairly soon?
OLED will be out very shortly.
OLED, that's right. That's right.
Which that's based on the LED technology, like we see in our little power buttons and things like that. Very, very power efficient. Electronic devices which glow.
So very potentially...
Like traffic lights. Have you seen traffic lights lately?
Oh, they're super bright. The LED traffic lights.
If you're coming back from a party and you're slightly hungover and that green one kicks in, oh, you need the sunnies at 2 a.m. Have you noticed?
Yeah, when they change. That's right. They change and your eye is not accustomed to that wavelength, is it? The light's
Well, actually, your eye is most sensitive from recollection from my studies at school to green.
Oh,
it's
is that
in
right?
the middle of the visible spectrum. Because you've got blue at one end, red at the other, and, of course, green's in the middle. So it does tend to become a bit piercing. But that's the LED technology, and they're little bright little suckers, aren't they?
They are. Well, maybe this problem is a manageable problem. If they've identified it now, and we're not going to be using LCD monitors maybe in 15 years' time, it's something that we can manage. We can plan for, and there can be a proper disposal system put in place.
Absolutely. Just as a byline, Professor Michael Prather from the University of California estimates that 4,000 tons of NF3 will be produced in 2008, and that number is likely to double in the years after. So, yes, something to be wary of, something to think about when you're potentially disposing of your flat screen.
I don't think I've ever disposed of a flat screen or an LCD panel.
Another one. It's a bit like plastic bags, isn't it? You know, they just sort of, it will be disposed of eventually.
Yeah.
So how they'll end up being filled. But,
what about really old laptops? Have you ever thrown out an old laptop?
No, I normally give them to you.
Yeah, I think I've got them all.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're still there's one I just read the news from before that took 18 minutes to boot up, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it's, they're all still being used, but... No, people will be doing that, though. They'll be throwing out old machines and old panels.
Mm-hmm. All right, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio. Panel of two this evening, Dr. Ron and myself, Andrew McComb. Feedback at techtalkradio.com.au if you want to talk to us. We're going to take a break, get a drink, and we'll be back with more in a moment.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Heaven help anyone who lives near a prison and wants to use a mobile telephone.
We tend to use that terminology sloppily and it can confuse.
Nothing like a woman scorned.
NAB, web junk.
We've got GPS for when you're outside and we've got triangulation when you're inside.
No, I'll do it again later.
That old chestnut.
Let's talk about Goosh. Entertaining.
Though she's not a human, she can act like a real girlfriend.
Informative.
Where are you going to get your iPhone from? Are you going to get a Vodafone one or a Telstra one?
Independent.
10.5's had some problems.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Speaking of nerd conventions...
Listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. Andrew McComb,
speaking of nerd conventions.
That was very good. You've done some new promos. Excelled yourself there, Dr. Ron, in your recent vacation.
Yes, recent vacation. And and current sick leave.
Hey.
I've got a man cold, Andrew. It's terrible.
Yeah, I must admit, there's a lot of it going around at the moment. A lot of it. We mentioned before the break, the Olympics are coming to town.
Search for man cold on YouTube if you want to know what a man cold is.
Really?
Some very funny stuff.
Okay.
Sorry, we mentioned the Olympics. Yes, we did.
The TiVo and all sorts of electronic devices are heading our way just in time for the Olympic Games.
Channel 7's got the TiVo happening.
They have. Do you remember, put your old wannabe way back cap on, which you've got on at the moment, I see.
I do, yes.
Remember when television was simple? When I mean simple, I mean there was one standard.
And there were four channels.
Five.
Five?
Don't leave out SBS.
Oh, no, I'm going really simple. I'm sticking to VHF, baby.
Oh, okay, good. All right.
You're adding a level of complexity. Yeah, SBS.
Well, back in the good old days. Like, no wonder consumers are confused with today's modern technology.
Oh, we get confused by it.
Back then, you turned the telly on, and if you wanted to record it, there was only one device that could do it for you.
Yep.
It was a VHS machine.
Yep.
Or a Betamax machine, if you were even that earlier.
Video recorder.
Yeah. You used to buy a tape, you used to whack it in the machine, and away you go.
They've been banned in our house now.
What? Videotapes?
Yeah.
Why?
Old technology.
Old technology.
Grungy picture.
This is from a man.
It's all...
This is from a man who's walked into his technological rooms like going into a time warp with old monitors on the desktop.
Yeah, yeah.
Old laptops, 20 meg hard drives.
I've got a particular dislike for VHS tapes, Andrew.
Have you?
Yes.
Yes. Adam Turner has a view on all this.
Good.
As Adam would, because the TiVo, another PVR device, is about to hit home.
Yes. And this is a special one that Channel 7 have got the rights for.
Yes. And the new ones that are coming out, because it's not just the TiVo that's coming out, it's a whole plethora of these devices which you can now go down to your local white goods shop and buy. So here's with what we've just said and what Adam's about to say. Hopefully you'll be the charged consumer who knows a little bit about everything.
You'll be the informed consumer.
That's the one. All right, here's Adam's view from the couch for this week.
Adam Turner's view from the couch on Tech Talk Radio.
There's a rumble in the lounge room jungle brewing as the former PVR heavyweight Topfield prepares to take on TiVo and Foxtel's iQ2. Topfield has finally discovered Ethernet in the lounge room, but I suspect the former champ has left it too late for a comeback. It looks like 2008 will finally be the year of the high-def personal video recorder in Australia. TiVo and Foxtel's iQ2 are both preparing to step into the ring in July, ready to battle it out over the Olympics. The impressive BeyondWiz PVR is also finally punching above its weight after a series of firmware upgrades. Traditional CE manufacturers such as Panasonic and Sony have also started throwing a few decent punches. There was a time when Topfield was the heavyweight champion of the lounge room. In a TiVo-less market like Australia, Topfield's personal video recorders were a knockout, letting you do amazing things like time shifting and ad skipping. Then the competition started to catch up, but Topfield failed to stay in shape. Topfield has been on the ropes for more than a year now, and this new round of contenders could see the former champ finally go down for the count. Now, the champ's biggest blunder was refusing to add a humble Ethernet port to the Topfield PVRs. This would allow users to download an electronic program guide such as Ice TV, which lets the PVR search the TV guide for your favourite shows and automatically record them. Ethernet also lets you access other online services such as video on demand, which Ice TV has plans for. It got to the point where Ice TV refused to support any future Topfield PVRs unless they included an Ethernet port, because of course a PVR without an EPG is little more than an expensive paperweight. Topfield has taken quite a few body blows, but the big question is, will the champ's rope-a-dope tactics pay off? Topfield's high-definition TF7100 HD PVRT is about to don the gloves, and it features twin HD tuners, a 320GB hard drive, HDMI output, external drive support, and most importantly, Ethernet and Wi-Fi. A year or two ago, I would have said that this would be a haymaker that would floor the competition, but today it's just another contender. The word is that TiVo will finally hit Australian shelves next month, priced at $700, which is cheaper than the new Topfield box. As well as recording high-definition television, the TiVo will have access to music and movie downloads, plus internet video channels, as well as the ability to recommend shows and automatically record them. Next to this, The Topfield box is little more than a boring hard drive recorder. It will rely on the services provided by Ice TV to have any hope of competing with TiVo. I suspected that Ice TV would team up with an Australian video on demand provider called Realtime to offer video downloads via compatible PVRs, but Realtime hit the canvas earlier this year. It was bought out by Easy DVD, which is about to relaunch the service as Easy Download. It remains to be seen if Ice TV and Easy Download team up, but Topfield needs such a team in its corner if it wants another shot at the title. If Topfield can fight its way back to the top, it will be the biggest comeback since Ali took down Foreman in Zaire with a straight hard right in the eighth. Can the former champ still float like a butterfly and sting like a bee? Only time will tell.
Entertaining, informative and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Sting like a bee, float like a butterfly. Yeah, interesting times to be told there, I guess. The other interesting thing too, which we didn't talk about earlier, Dr. Ron, was the fact that there's now a million and one different ways to connect your PVR or whatever to your telly.
Yeah, there are.
There's the old coaxial cable and RF cable. RF used to tune in on your TV channel on your old VCR.
That's right.
Now you've got composite.
We don't do that as much anymore.
No. Component. And now we've got a digital equivalent, which is fantastic. So you can digitally connect your new gadget to your new TV. It's called HDMI.
We do. There's a first sort of generation called DVI. Some people might have DVI ports. And then there's the newer version, which is HDMI, as you say.
Stands for High Definition Multimedia Interface.
Mm.
There's a few flavours of that around too, but it's downwardly or backwardly compatible. Mm. So if you've got an older version and a newer version, they do seem to talk. You might just lose a little bit of functionality out of it. The DVI, that's used for connecting things like your video 8 cameras or your mini DV cameras into your CD recorders to record on a DVD or something like that.
That's right. I think you'll find that DVI only carries video. And you have to get the audio across as well. No, audio's on DVI,
audio,
is it?
Audio, it's all together.
What DVI. Am I thinking of?
Don't know. Component video, maybe?
Maybe.
S-Video, there's another one.
Don't listen to me. Yeah, S-Video, it's another one. Yeah. SCART.
Yes. Yeah, SCART's good. I use SCARTs too, because it lets you bring RGB into a TV as well, cathode ray tube device.
Yeah, yep.
Good quality pictures, better than you'll get on your average LCD or CRT, LCD or plasma, I reckon.
Interesting. Anyway. There's a lot of different types of connections.
Have you got internet in your car?
Only when I've got my mobile phone turned on. Why? What have you got?
We'll talk about that after the break.
Okay.
Compelling.
Every once in a while, a revolutionary product comes along that changes everything.
Judicious.
The question is really whether young people particularly are addicted to being connected to other people all the time.
Historical.
Today is a very important day in Australia's history. This is the day, the 6th of October, 2006, that life in Australia will be changed forever.
Caring.
I know as a parent, I would often say to my children, you've just spoken to this person for 8 hours at school. How can you sit online and chat to them for another 5 hours?
You heard of road rage? What about web rage?
They should be wearing a mask and carrying a gun.
Relations between Telstra and the federal government have been extremely strained almost from the moment Sol Trujillo became chief executive.
Optus had quite a good quarter, but its 3G service is very low profile at the moment.
And the Queen's got an iPod.
Betty's got one.
Yeah.
I wonder what she listens to. She'll probably listen to us.
An unexpectedly high number of voters swamped the system. Well, what did they expect?
Controversial.
Less attention is paid to the equally interesting question, should journalists blog?
Magical.
And I've got some residual powers.
Ambitious.
High-speed broadband, it's available in most of Asia as well as being in the rest of the world. Let's just make sure that we can get it in Australia this year, not next.
Religion.
Talking of the Roman Catholics, I have been on Vatican Radio.
Comedy.
You put the date on ePray, and you get a whole service. Just on a,
how does it go?
It goes...
Insightful, entertaining and informative. Tech Talk Radio. More than just technology.
It's a strictly rehearsed and finely polished program.
Have you heard something on Tech Talk Radio worth talking about? Are you looking to share your technical dilemmas or opinions with like-minded Tech Talk Radio listeners? Well, now you can. Introducing the Tech Talk Radio web forum. Visit forum.techtalkradio.com.au and join our community. It's free and on a web browser near you. The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
Welcome back. Hello to some listeners that have been emailing us. Simon Templer. Hello, Simon.
Hi, Simon.
Let me scroll down. I was just reading somebody else. It's just there for the moment. It's good to see live positioning data being made available to mobile phone users. It would be good for business to be able to keep track of workers in the field. Well, Telstra do that already, don't they?
Indeed, indeed.
Only drawback I can see at present is the complexity of handsets available that are able to use the service. Not exactly what I recommend for ease of use in that environment. So, yeah, they'll become a bit easier and a bit better. And GPS is working in your back pockets. Traditionally, same problem as I think you mentioned earlier, Dr. Ron, with one of our Queensland listeners saying that the railway stations underground don't really work too well for GPS.
The bus stations,
he also says, for example, he uses an S60, a Symbian Nokia, which is problematic for the average user. The lower end S40 Nokias are much more efficient businesses. That issue mobile phones to its employees. Hopefully, GPS services will be available in lower end phones for average users. Well, yeah, that's
hopefully.
Pretty much.
Fingers
I've got one
crossed.
In my Sony Ericsson just by standard. I think they'll come out like cameras.
Yeah, they'll start. Manufacturers will start to work them in.
Phones are just evolving, really, aren't they? John in Adelaide also. G'day, John. The webcam's getting a bit boring. Yeah, it's not on tonight.
That'll be why, John. That's why it's dark.
It's probably the back of from about 2 or 3 weeks ago when we had it in last. We will endeavour to bring the webcam in one night in the not too distant. It's a pretty much an at-call type sort of stuff.
The most we could do to get Andrew and I in front of two microphones tonight, John. So webcams,
absolutely. There's a lot of sniffles in the area around here at the moment. Love the stuff you're doing on tonight's PVRs. I made one last week as per the method suggested by Darren of the PC User. DivX from Strathfield with the added ID hard drive of whatever size you want. $69 for the DVX. The prices are steel, records the video and embeds the audio in the inbuilt standard def digital tuner as a data stream. So no loss of quality and can be set to record as for as long as you want. Well, I must admit, I use a Strongbox. There's a new HD receiver box out there, which...
That's a new one that you've got?
Yeah, which lets you plug into the an external hard drive, a USB hard drive. Don't use a stick. I've tried a stick. Sticks are good. They seem to work. But when push comes to the shove, they're not too flash. But if you plug it into a...
Video files get big fast too, don't they?
Well, they do. But 4 gig, I thought, would be fine. And I tried it. And it does record it. And it does play back. Just that when it exceeds its file limit, it has to create a new file. And it's a bit slow doing that. So anyway.
I've got two twits here from people. Two Crows Down says, there's no difference in cables, according to some reviews. We're talking about...
Don't believe it.
No, don't believe it. Nah. Interesting. And
do also, some research, everyone, if you're in doubt.
If you're in doubt. And Warlock says, also speaking of such things, DVI is just video, no audio. I think that's what I was speculating.
Yeah, you were mentioning that.
I think DVI
is just video. The DVI that comes out of your video camera and goes into your CD DVD burner does have audio.
It carries audio.
I know because I've done it and I can personally speak from experience on that one.
Well, I wasn't thinking cameras. I was thinking televisions and Blu-ray players. So maybe that's... Slightly different standard there.
Yes.
I think HDMI is the actual, the video itself is exactly the same, but HDMI always carries audio. I think that's how it works. So it might be different types of DVI. Thanks, Warlock, and thanks, Two Crows Down.
Yes, I can see them on the screen here at the moment, too.
There you go.
Two cows is in Perth. I mean, Two Crows Down.
Two cows.
Two dogs. in Perth. So there you go. Listening to us on the other side of the country, which is very nice. Now, before the break, I mentioned, Dr. Ron, that the internet comes to your car. Want to browse the internet, update your Facebook profile, answer emails, do some eBay shopping, and add to your MySpace blog from your car?
Oh, no.
Just don't do it while you're driving.
Just before
you
drive into the back of the person in front of you? Yep.
Absolutely. I wonder if there's any laws for doing that. Like, you're not allowed to text when you drive, so I guess it would fall under the same sort of thing. No Facebooking whilst you're driving.
You're not allowed to drive carelessly, and it's a rather large umbrella. I think that would probably figure in that somehow.
I'm sure it would. Technology to bring the information superhighway to our real highways is on the way, though not all car makers see eye to eye, and the risk of driver distraction is already raising safety concerns, even here in the studio tonight before I got to that. Car makers in the US and Europe are racing to be the first to release models with unrestricted internet access this year, but don't count on it here.
Right.
Despite the fact that, it's all happening. In the US, Chrysler has announced that wireless internet will appear as an option in its new cars from September.
That's right. We had this in the news last week, I think.
And it's meant to be used by passengers only if the car is moving.
So the whole car becomes a hotspot.
I guess so.
That's pretty good, isn't it?
It is. You plug your SIM into the boot somewhere. It must be a little bit of electronics in there, and it becomes a local wireless hotspot.
All you need is a very small little box, like the size of a PDA. And as you say, you'd have it in the boot or the glove box.
In Europe, BMW is the car brand claiming a world first with an expanded version of its existing connected drive system, allowing full access to the internet via a dashboard screen and a mouse-like controller on the central console. Naturally, to be operated by the driver or front passenger, but only when the car is stopped.
Ah.
So, yes, the mind boggles, really, doesn't it? Because if you think about the fact that, you know, we can have DVDs in our car these days, now there's a distraction, not so much for the driver, but for the driver of the car behind.
Yeah,
have you noticed that?
Yeah, especially if they're embedded
in the... You're trying to work out what movie they're watching the car next to you.
They're in the headrests of the driver's headrest or the front passenger's headrest, and they're facing the backseat passengers.
Too right.
You can see them through the rear window, can't you?
I don't think internet in the car is really that flash. I think really the Bluetoothy sort of stuff, because like seriously, you just want to get your music off your iPod or your whatever, your MP3 player into your car stereo, don't you? And to do that without cables in the car, so you just pop your iPod down in the center console and away you go.
Well, I do that, and I've got a little FM transmitter, and I've just got a memory in my car stereo radio.
Yeah.
I just hit that button and it tunes me into my music player.
And that'd be good, because then you don't have cables everywhere, because that's what used to happen. Remember the old cables that used to be draped across the gear stick and around the shift and up and over the dashboard and through the sun visor and around the mirror?
You put your left foot through them trying to change the gears. And
then you hit the brakes and the CD player would zip underneath your foot. Yeah. Oh, let's not go there. Another good old days, really, weren't they?
Good times.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio, Dr. Ron and Andrew McComb in this evening. We're all suffering the dreaded over here, so that's why we're a bit short on numbers. JD, he'll be in the studio again soon.
JD says hello. He's listening to us live on the stream Brisbane.
He's in Brisbane.
Hi, JD.
Don't go on the trains, JD. You need a special card. We've
learned
that tonight.
Buses.
The buses. Yes.
You'll go underground and you'll disappear.
We have a lot of listeners in Queensland.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Switch. Hi, Switch listeners.
Yep. And hello to everybody up in Queensland listening to us on the
radio. Absolutely. Cairns. All over the place. Take a break. We're going to have a drink and breathe the air, and we'll be back with more in a moment.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Do no evil, Google sued for $1 billion.
Is it a job for government though, or is it a job for ISPs to provide interlink?
Hey, hang on, nerd alert. What?
The thing is, people put it on vibrate or silent and you can't tell.
Which is which?
What do you mean, which is which?
You can't vote with your feet because there are no other options.
Oh, did I say that?
Yeah, you might have. 12 megabits though.
Entertaining.
What's the problem, Dr. Ron?
Informative.
Has it got a network port on the back?
Independent.
Do they do that in some other countries?
Absolutely they do.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
No.
She tells me.
Keeps your knees warm.
Have you heard something on Tech Talk Radio worth talking about? Are you looking to share your technical dilemmas or opinions with like-minded Tech Talk Radio listeners? Well, now you can. Introducing the Tech Talk Radio web forum. Visit forum.techtalkradio.com.au and join our community. It's free and on a web browser near you. The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
Yeah, welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. Thanks for everyone giving us a bit of a Twitter tonight too. It's interesting to see all those things come in. It's lovely technology, isn't it? We might try it a bit later on too and see what happens down the track as with other sorts of gadgety things. We had some good suggestions for a live chat board and things like that too.
Yeah, I saw that. Some people that want us to have live chat while we're on the show, like an IRC style.
Not sure how we're going to moderate that, but nonetheless.
No.
Because you don't want nasty things being said up there, because it's a family show after all.
Yeah, yeah. So, we'll give it a go though. It's something that we're looking at.
Absolutely. Mm. $8 million is being allocated for mobile service holes, just when we thought it was safe to get our mobile networks out there and 3G and the CDMA was turned off and all that sort of stuff. The federal government has released an $8 million tender to fill holes in Australia's rural mobile service coverage.
For everybody.
The Department of Broadband, Communications and the Digital Economy.
Yes.
DBCDE.
The DBCDE.
If you're in acronyms, too many of those these days. Has allocated the money under its 2008-2009 Mobile Connect program. The program aims to fill mobile service black spots around rural highways and communities. So what's going to happen there? Like, they're going to put up a tower. There's going to be some form of mobile base station, but whose?
Well, they're making it available to everyone is my reading of that.
I wonder if it gets plugged into the Telstra network or all the networks get a chance to have a bit of space on the tower and pop a cell up there or something.
Maybe all the networks get to apply for use.
Yeah. Well, anyway, there you go. That came out of Senator Conroy's office a couple of days back. So it'll be interesting to see a little bit more about that as time goes by too.
It's good that they're taking the coverage problems in the bush seriously.
Yeah.
Hopefully anyway, this will go some way towards
it should be
the problem.
Extending the CDMA black spots. Well, not that they had any. That's the thing. Anyway, Windows XP, the end is nigh. Microsoft was due to stop shipping its XP operating system to computer manufacturers last Monday in the face of a lot of opposition.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, absolutely. Bring it on. As of now, a petition to keep sales of XP alive has some 210,000 digital signatures. But today's deadline, or the deadline, is looming. And they're trying to get you to go and sign up and get a bit more of a petition. So they've nearly got 250,000 people saying, well, save us, we need XP.
Well, it's going to be supported for many, many years yet.
But you just won't be able to buy a new copy of it.
That's the thing. They're saying that Microsoft are going to stop offering it as a new product, which you can buy off the shelf.
Mm. Last week, the firm sent out a letter to customers telling them that it would be extending critical support for Windows XP until 2014. With June the 30th, 2008, being the end of sales for XP. So we'll wait and see what happens. While we're talking about security and stuff like that, Apple is going to patch 25 Mac OS X vulnerabilities in the next Patch Tuesday equivalent for OS X. So there'll be a new version come out, obviously.
25 vulnerabilities, yeah.
Only 25 they've found this time around, but that's not bad. It follows about a month ago fixes and flaws in a dozen of its components for OS X 10.4, which is Tiger and now Leopard, ranging from Alias Manager and the dock to VPN and WebKit. Apple labeled 11 of the 25 vulnerabilities with its arbitrary code execution tag, thus slotting them into the category that vendors which rate them as a critical threat.
Right.
So, there you go. The moral of the story is update and patch as available, unless you've got a damn good reason not to.
Mm.
A damn good reason. As he shuffles his papers, because I was looking for something else down the back here. Web vulnerabilities is on the increase because people don't patch.
Mm.
They just don't. And it's becoming a real problem because people are just, here we go, unpatched web browsers prevalent on the internet. Only 59.1% of people use or update their patches on their web browsers.
Mm.
Now, if you're going to find a vulnerability and someone's going to come and have a go at you, where's the weakest link? It's your web browser.
Yeah.
So you should make sure that they're patched. For goodness sakes, everybody.
Web browsers, how people have traditionally got software onto your computer. You get prompted to download things or things are just downloaded by stealth on web pages without you even realising it.
Yep.
And it makes it very easy to get stuff onto
your computer.
Go to
a web page and they arbitrarily execute some little bit of code while you're not watching.
That's right. And has an effect on your computer locally.
That's what phishing does. Makes you click the link or take you to a link and it's normally to a page which is dubious.
That's right. They send spam emails with links. The links take you to, bogus websites.
And finally, before we go to the conclusion of tonight's Tech Talk Radio with the Oddspot Gadget and Website of the Week, eBay forced to eat humble pie.
Oh, really? Over PayPal?
Over PayPal, yeah. The ACCC has won. eBay has suffered an ultimate embarrassment of being forced to cancel its ridiculously anti-competitive plan to force buyers and sellers to use PayPal only. But it's flip-flop enough to restore any credibility. What about the problem of negative seller feedback? What about PayPal's extremely poor customer service? And Will Head's role at eBay Australia simply for being so incredibly stupid? Or do we point the fingers at eBay HQ in the United States?
I've purchased three things on eBay during the week.
That's from ITY, by the way.
And on each occasion, I've gone to pay via PayPal and I've emailed the person and said, hey, do you want to just give us your BSB and your bank account number? I'll just transfer you the cash. It's a lot cheaper. And
there's a way around it.
And three out of three times they've said, yeah, that's a good idea. Do that. Here's my account number.
So, Dr. Ron, I never thought you were like that.
Oh, well, that's a perfectly legitimate way of paying. And now it's been upheld by the ACCC. That eBay have to cater for people who want to pay via direct transfer.
And so endeth the lesson. Or does it?
You're listening.
Dr. Ron?
Here I am listening. Residual powers.
And I've got some residual powers.
You can't turn off CDMA.
In terms of the volume,
motorists have to give fingerprints. Now, this
we may have digressed.
Talk radio.
Bill Burgess also claimed the country would remain behind.
We used to think 600 kilometres per second.
Don't open things that, good that you're not expecting, even if they do a thing.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
In this house, we obey the laws of thermodynamics.
Tech Talk Radio's Gadget of the Week.
You listen to music on a portable music player, Andrew, while you're in the bed?
Absolutely, all the time, especially while I'm mowing the lawns, I like whacking the pods in.
I do it on my telephone. I've got a Sony Ericsson telephone. And the new Sony Ericsson is the W960i, which is a Walkman phone,
a combination
of a 3G PDA and a high-performance media player. It can pack up to 8,000 songs.
That's a lot. How big storage?
Ah, you ask. I'll get to that.
Keep going.
Includes a Walkman player with a touchscreen navigation on a large 2.6-inch display. It's got a 3.2-megapixel camera. We're talking about megapixels and cameras before.
We were.
Yeah, so 3.2 with a 3x digital zoom and widescreen for watching video in TV quality. I don't know what that means.
TV quality, that's not good.
No, that's doesn't sound promising. Surf the web via Wi-Fi or 3G. Listen to MP3 files, AAC.
Oh, they've got everything.
AAC Plus. EAAC Plus.
Oh, they got too much now.
A WAV and M4A encoded files. It also has an Opera web browser and Microsoft Exchange ActiveSync email support. The RRP is $1,099. For more information, you can go to sonyericsson.com.au.
Here it is, everybody. The world's greatest website.
Tech Talk Radio website of the week.
Have you ever been on to a video sharing website like YouTube?
Yes.
And thought, it'd be really cool if I could actually download that file and use it for whatever purpose.
Well, I don't know whether I've wanted to download them all. I've always found them quite amusing. The only reason I want to download them is to email them to someone or something like that.
Yes. Well, there's a website which is a flash streaming video converter. So the website of the week is www.vconversion.com.
Oh, really? So it converts it as it comes in, does it?
That's right.
Well, that's a bit scary.
What you do is you copy and paste the URL. So, for example, from YouTube, you put it into a text box
there. Live and cooking,
there.
For example.
Exactly
could we use
right.
Flash video on our
there
cooking
you go.
Show?
You could give that a try. That's your mission during the week. Paste the URL in, click convert, and select what video format you want. And then it will actually prompt you to open save as dialog.
Yeah,
and you can then download the file. It'll create it for you. So that's our website, neat little utility, vconversion.com.
There is a fine line between genius and madness.
Showtime. Missed it by that much.
I know nothing. Nothing.
Houston, we have a problem.
The Odd Spot on Tech Talk Radio.
This isn't a funny odd spot, it's a scary odd spot. And GD, who's a regular listener and contributor, has been emailing me updates through the week.
This is the house, the haunted, radiated house. Yes.
The head of a New South Wales parliamentary inquiry into uranium contamination in a Sydney street says a preliminary inspection has revealed unacceptable levels of radioactivity. Independent tests of Nelson Parade in Hunters Hill have found radiation levels 350 times higher than what's considered safe.
That's a lot. Did someone leave the microwave door open?
I don't know what's
happened.
How does that
happened? Work? I don't know. Uranium plant underneath their house or
something? Well, there's an update as of tonight. The ABC has decided not to build its new Brisbane headquarters on a site in Newstead for the same reason. ABC Managing Director Mark Scott says testing found elevated levels of radioactive material in the area. He says the organisation has commenced action in the Supreme Court to cancel the purchase of the land.
Oh my goodness.
It's getting out of control.
Gee, what's going on up there? Because the ABC had problems with other cancers and things like that up in ABC land in Brisbane.
Well, they did. That's right.
Maybe it's in the air up there. I don't know.
Something in the air. Not good. Well, I'll put some links to that in the show notes if you want to read more
about
the...
Be good.
Yes, the high radioactivity readings.
That's good. Tata's saying from a business point of view, updates, patches, etc. is a matter of course. For personal point of view, time waster. Well, do it at your own peril, I reckon.
Yeah.
Thanks to everyone who's contributed on Twitter tonight.
It's working well.
It's been very good.
Thanks, TARDIS. Thanks, and, Warlock, and everybody else who's been twittering.
Everyone
has
been. A lot of people twittering and emailing and all sorts of stuff. Even comments about the music from afar, the other side of town.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, it's good.
Now, live IRC chat. We'll take that on board. Thanks, everyone. We've had about 10 messages come in the space of half an hour saying, mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
And the eBay got everyone talking too, didn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
We'll have to get it going, I think. All right. Job for another day. You've been listening to Tech Talk Radio, Dr. Ron and Andrew McComb, and a bit of a depleted panel. We're all dropping like flies with the current lurgy that's around and all that sort of stuff.
I'll be back with a voice next week.
Hopefully we'll be able to breathe and talk in the next show, and a few buttons will go in the right order, and things will happen just nicely. Until next week, it's been fantastic being in your ears and your iPods, wherever you are around Australia or around the world. You've been listening to Tech Talk Radio.
You've been listening to Tech Talk Radio, brought to you each and every week by a group of dedicated professionals from within the media, broadcasting, IT and telecommunications industries. The team consists of executive producer Andrew McComb, producer Dr. Ron Panelists, Graham Callaghan and Mark Diggins, expert opinion Adam Turner, and our US correspondent is Lydia Davis. Post-production facilities courtesy of Evolving Communications. Podcast production by Graham Callaghan. Tech Talk Radio is broadcast, recorded and streamed live to the world each and every Monday night at 8 p.m. from the studios of 3WBC. The crew wish to thank all the stations that take the show, including 3WBC and 3XX in Melbourne, Cairns FM, Switch 1197 in Brisbane, 95.3 Huon FM in Tasmania, Queer FM in WA, and Stop and Go Radio in the United States. For sponsorship and advertising, call 03 9018 9043 or visit our website, techtalkradio.com.au. This has been a production of Tech Talk Radio Vic and is subject to copyright and applicable laws and may not be rebroadcast without approval.